Episodes 5 through 8, the Mae Young Classic After Show on AfterBuzz TV, right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. Feel it and love it.
Yes! Are you, like, doing this?
I'm just feeling it.
You've got the moves, girl.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And welcome you. Welcome to part 2 of 3. This is the midpoint in our journey for the Mae Young Classic After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We are covering episodes 5 through 8. So 5 and 6 is round 2. 7 is the quarterfinals. And 8 is the semifinals. And I have a full crew of kick-ass females. And to my left, we have Anissa Barr. She's social media for X-Pac 12360.
Yes, I am. And you can follow me at Anissa Barr with 3 R's at the end. And I'm feeling Dakota Kai. She's my girl. I tweeted her. She tweeted me back. And I said, I have to do my hair just like her. So she's my go-to.
I see that. Yes, I would picture you as a striker anyway. Yeah. You'd be a striker.
Yeah,
type.
Actually, I have to give credit to Denise because she kind of helped me with my hair today.
Thank you.
Like 20 minutes before we started. And she was like, oh my God, you look like an anime. I'm like, that's what Dakota Kai reminds me of. So,
hey, I love it.
Team Kick all the way.
And talking about Team Kick, TK Trinidad is sitting right next to her. Yes, thank you. I worked all day on that. You can find her on TMZ, everything after Buzz TV. TK, hit them with your note.
I just want to say that my predictions from last week were correct.
Yeah.
That's it. You can find me on everything at TK Trinidad.
Love it. And the lovely lady to my left is Denise Solsado, also part of X-Pac 12360.
Hey guys, you guys can pretty much follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at _ Denise Salcedo. I tweet a lot and can kind of get pretty annoying on social media.
Speaking of social media, TK will keep an eye on the chat room. I will also try as we continue the show. Keeping in mind that we are going to be covering about four hours within an hour, so we're just going to go ahead and start. So this is AfterBuzz TV's Mae Young Classic After Show. So it was 13 countries. 32 women, single elimination. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like sudden death, like with any video game that you've ever seen ever before. And I'm always going to bring up Super Smash Bros. So one winner to rule them all. And wow. And here we go. So episode 5 is round 2. There is a 20-minute time limit for this. Remember, one fall single elimination. This takes place in Full Sail University in Orlando, Florida. And we have Jim Ross and WWE Hall of Famer Lita as commentators.
I have one question.
Yes.
Where's Medusa at?
I know, I keep seeing her.
She was supposed to be one of the commentators, and I know somebody made a comment last week. I'm like, oh, well, she'll probably be in this week, because
really
she has not appeared at all.
Unless she'll be there at the final.
She's doing the backstage reporting, and I've seen the photos, but I haven't been able to see any of the actual videos on the actual show.
Right.
So, I don't
know. Is she in any of this exclusive content? Because I kept on meaning to go through that.
Yeah,
definitely will before the final.
They talked about her in the bracketology and prior to that. And so, I don't know.
Hey, so chat room, if you have that answer, hit us up.
But we do have our fellow After Buzzer, Christy St. Cloud, that was doing interviews backstage. So shout out to Christy Olsen, as we know her, but Christy St. Cloud, that's how WWE knows her. So
yes,
congrats
love
to her for doing
Christy.
That.
Yeah, she doesn't do karaoke, but she will watch you do it. So she's my kind of people.
Right.
Okay, but speaking with this, episode 5, so I mean, whew. Round 2, first half. What were some of your favorite moments? Some standouts? I mean, obviously, you know, yours.
Oh, yeah. Well, with this match with Rachel, I like how she did the RKO out of nowhere. I mean, it gave me, like, some cool vibes. It's finally cool to see a woman do that. An RKO. I've always wanted to see a woman do an RKO, but it's kind of cool. And I have to give it to Rachel Evans. She is...
Rachel Evers?
Yeah. Evers, yes, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. She's like Lucy Evans.
Yeah.
You know? I like Chris Evans. It's all the Evans.
Right? I feel like with this round, she gave it her all. Mm-hmm. She did come back with a powerful ring style. I liked how they both had a good connection in the ring.
Yeah, that's something that you definitely notice in episodes 5 through 8. They're really good connections. They were there to bring it, and it was brought. Yeah. Like bring it on, bro. I'm going to make so many movie references. Just prepare yourself.
We should keep count. Can someone please keep count on the chat room?
It's going to be so good. Okay, so our first match is Rachel Evers, USA, versus Abby Laith, USA. Mm-hmm. There was a really nice video package with Abby Laith. I really enjoyed that. So that you know, Abby defeated the physically imposing Jazzy Gabert, who mm-hmm. was one of my favorites mm-hmm. because she looks like a supervillain, with the alligator clutch to get to this point. She's also defeated men and women. She studied dance as a ballerina.
16 years.
Yeah, yeah. So a and lot. She loves and Mae Young. CCW trained. And yeah. I'm sorry? Did you say
she loves
Mae Young?
She loves Mae Young. That was one of the things that nice. She emphasized. Like, she's like a huge, huge fan. Like, yeah,
absolutely. And with that alligator clutch, she's Mae Young inspired. So, and Rachel Evers defeated Mardi Bell. Power lifter. So 375 pounds that she power lifts. She's a second generation wrestler, you know, Precious Paul Ellering. I call him Rocksteady and Bebop, but that's not their name. The Authors of Pain.
Yes.
Yeah. He's the manager of them. Okay. So with this particular match, I mean, some of my favorite moments for it, I really like that the audience was really getting into everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like with these past episodes, the audience quickly got on Abby's side with Abby Chance. And, you know, Evers, she attempted a suicide dive at the beginning. I'm glad she didn't hurt herself mm-hmm. with it. I mean, but as it progressed, I really did like how the wrestlers both rang each other's bells with simultaneous high kicks. It's like, that was, wow, you're exhausting me mm-hmm. with seeing that. But bottom line, Evers went for another high kick near the end where Abby did a fantastic counter and won with her signature alligator clutch. So mm-hmm. any thoughts on this, ladies?
This was a really nice match. Again, I have to agree with you. The crowd was really into it. But to tell you the truth, I think that this one, Abby really shined. I feel like you can see the two levels of differences between the two women. Mm-hmm. Yes, Rachel is good, but I still think that Abby is on another level, which makes sense as to why she advanced. Her kicks, man. Oh my god, they were so good. I absolutely loved it, and honestly, I thought this was a nice match.
I like the fact that she was just like fluid. It's like she took her dancer's ability at the Seem Impossible and was able to go through the clicks and everything like that. Like mm-hmm. it's almost like she planned it, which obviously she didn't, but like everything was just so fluid about it. But I pegged Rachel to win. For some reason,
you're not the only one. I kind of saw that second generation just like
yeah.
You know,
I thought that was
going to
be a
it.
Thing. So, yeah. But you know, I'm definitely glad Abby won. She's a hard worker. I was really impressed with the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The match was perfect. I liked the power slam off the top rope that she did. It was like
oh yeah,
oh my gosh. And then to know that Abby came from CCW was pretty like awesome to know because I know a few maybe one wrestler that came from CCW. But also, I liked how they had Tasha Nono on the ringside. I mean, I want to call him Chris Hero more, but I liked how they have superstars come showing up and showing their support on yeah. these women.
Yeah, it's good. It lets you know that this does not exist in a vacuum. There is more for all of these women after this competition mm-hmm. is
it's
done.
It's kind of like when you watch boxing and you're waiting to see, like, oh, who are the special celebrities that show up? Yeah. That's kind of how I felt, like, where they were showing, like, whoever popped up for the Mae Young Classic. I was like, yeah, that's cool. All right.
But
yeah,
another thing, too, that this audience, I don't know what the total amount of hours were, but if you notice, the audience was the same throughout. So I don't know how long they sat.
Well, our fellow AfterBuzzer, Steve Kaufman, actually was there.
Oh.
Yeah, he was there when during the taping. And mm-hmm. I believed he said that it was almost every single day that they were doing
things
it,
about, right.
about maybe all-day thing.
Yeah, yeah, it seemed like an all-day mm-hmm. thing.
Okay, well, that that yeah, nicely yeah. done. Hey, they love wrestling about as much as we do. So,
yeah.
So yes, our next match is Serena Deeb, USA, versus Piper Nevin, Scotland. Love me some Piper.
Oh my gosh,
Piper's okay,
amazing.
Love me some Piper. So Piper is just she calls herself the badass with the smile. Love that. Mm-hmm. Her finisher, the Piper Driver. She's a powerhouse style, but not only that, she is quick and she's also
so
methodical.
Mm-hmm.
So to get to this point, she defeated Santana Garrett, who was known as the Wonder Woman. And she defeated her with the Piper Driver. Actually, she did it with the Minoko Driver.
Yeah.
So for Serena Deeb, she defeated Vanessa Bourne in the first round with the spear to get to this point. So with this particular match, if you didn't already know, Serena Deeb had kind of a redemption arc going on where she's trying to get back into WWE. She's been on a hiatus. She had a number of things, personal things that happened, but she overcame them to get to this point.
And very experienced.
Very experienced. Mm-hmm. Yes, most definitely. So with this, some of the favorite things that I liked, I mean, Serena Deeb, she was going up against Piper. Piper is... Not only is she quick, she's got a girth to her also, and she knows how to use it. So I liked that the veteran instincts of Serena Deeb kicked in, and she kept on trying different tactics. And that was one of the things that got me. Like, she would do the side headlock takeover. She'd get Piper on the ground. She tried to get away from those splashes. But pretty much after Piper did that cannonball in the corner, it kind of seemed like that was, once again, one of those instances where it's just... The other person is going to be out for the count. And when Piper went to the top rope, but nobody was home, then Serena went for the spear, and then Piper countered again with the Minoku driver, which Japanese wrestling, awesome. Mm-hmm. And then she won. She won again with that. And I was like, I felt it was earned. Yeah. I was okay with Serena Deeb not winning this particular match. How do you ladies feel?
I agree. One thing that really hurt my head, it was that headbutt. Ouch. Like, when you could actually hear the impact. And also what really struck me about this match is when Piper grabbed Serena and just power slammed her on the mat. That was something that I liked because it was very powerful, very strong, and it shows that how much she can be overcome as a veteran. Like, she could, Piper can pretty much dominate anybody.
Yeah, you get the win. You get the win knocked out of you.
She doesn't care if you are a veteran or you started yesterday. She will make sure she'll get you down.
Yeah, I really want to see her mic work. She just seems like she would be so good on the mic.
I wish, I kind of wish they would have, and obviously it's a long series, but we were able to actually see that dynamic as well. Because then they kind of make you cheer for people differently. I thought Serena was going to win because of that arc, but, you know, logic makes sense. Like, Piper's bigger and she's faster.
Oh, yeah.
That just automatically made sense. But I thought, you know, they were going to kind of swing it that way. So definitely a great match. Like almost a David versus Goliath type thing. But both of them, last week we had, I think we all said that, we had a couple of matches where it just felt like a lot of people were very novice. Mm-hmm. This week it felt like everybody knew what they were doing except for one or two. But the rest of them was like, they're amazing. So this match was like I was just really impressed with this match. I like kind of those frog smashes that
Piper definitely want to see some more Piper after this. It really got me fat.
I think that for me, Piper has some good tools in her arsenal, and that is what they're using. You know, she did the cannonball, she went to the top rope, we saw her do some body splashes, and I think that those are the tools that they know are impactful and are working. I like the story that they were trying to tell here, where it was like Serena Deeb's passion. We know she had, you know, some struggles, and she's coming back. And what I liked was that they were showing this small girl passion trying to overtake Piper, who's, you know, a little larger than she is. So she was trying to take her down, and I liked that story. I wasn't expecting Serena to go far in the competition, but I actually was thinking she was going to win this. But as the competition, you know, kept going forward, I now see why Piper Niven was the one that advanced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was there was a big difference there, and Piper, like, definitely wrecked it. I want to see her in more things. Yeah. So our next match, Mercedes Martinez versus Princesa Suhe. So we have USA versus Mexico there. I like the promos where it's like they were giving respect to each other, but neither one of them wanted to go home. That was just not happening. We also had Kalisto in the audience, you know, talking about having celebrities there. So with Princesa Suhe, her finisher is the La Rajeya. Which is a submission move. She defeated Kaylee Ray. She's a Lucha Libre style CMLL champion, 20-year vet, and she showed up in Wonder Woman gear. Love her.
Badass.
Love it. Mm-hmm. So for Mercedes Martinez, she beat Xylee in round one with a Fisherman Buster, and that's her finisher move, and she is a 16-year vet. So this was very nicely matched. with these, I mean, there were just, at the very beginning, there were great counters from both of them with, like, sizing each other up. And it wasn't uninteresting to watch. I'll be honest that there are some of the matches when they start with a wrist lock and, you know, headlock, side headlock, be like, where they're filling each other out. Why with this? I was like, oh, they're really sizing it up. And I could see that Princess Suhei was, like, planning three or four steps ahead. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she was going up against Mercedes Martinez, who's not only thinking ahead, but is hungry as hell for this. Definitely saw that. When Mercedes countered the monkey flip, I didn't expect for that to happen. And then there were some top rope strikes, but I love that Princessa then countered with a tornado DDT. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, that fed a need for me to see this just wonderful woman just do that straight out of the straight out of the corner.
Montserrat saying, FYI, Princessa isn't married to Kalisto. So apparently somebody said that. So just
I think I said it last time. Okay. So I don't know if I was joking or not, or if I really believed it.
All right.
But I'll watch it some other time and see. All right,
we're good.
So the princessa did not completely lock in the La Regia, but because of that, Mercedes still would not tap out and managed to land that Fisherman Buster. But her left arm took some serious damage. But Mercedes did get that win. Thoughts?
Oh my God. I thought that this was by far the biggest upset. I was really upset at this because I really like Princessa Suhei. Mm-hmm. She's on a different level regardless of what people may think. I think Princessa Suhei has this crazy amount of, like, experience and skill that is not only, like, it's just natural. She moves really fast in the ring. And it's something that I said in the previous show that we want to see people like Princessa Suhei on the WWE roster because she is just that good. But I know why they had Mercedes advance, because eventually I know they were going to want this tough chick versus this tough chick, which we saw later in the competition. But truthfully, I was a little upset. I was like, no, not Princessa Suhei. She was one of my picks. That's how I felt about it. Sorry, I had to get it out of my chest.
Passionate, right? I was like, oh, I don't know what she's going to be. I'm going to just...
You're like, when is she going to stop? This crazy woman.
I definitely agree with you. It's just... I had a feeling Mercedes was going to win, but I kind of want to see more Princessa.
You're
thank good. You. I kind of want to see more of her, but how everything kind of, when I was like looking at everything broke down, again, I did predict it, everything kind of made sense, all the chips started falling in, but definitely a great match. I feel like Mercedes is like a bull in a china shop. Like she was trying to execute a plan, but she was also like bulldozing through a wall. Yeah. It's like she was just kind of putting everything together and just, it was just, she's amazing, but I kind of want to see her outside of the ring and see if she's actually like nice or she's just or she's just like that all the time. Yeah, all the time. It's like, are you always angry? Like, do we need to talk about this? But definitely a great match.
Yeah, I 100% agree. This was a great match. And in the beginning, when they showed all the women on the stage, the person that caught my eye that was so excited to be there, I'm sure they were all excited to be there, was Mercedes. You could see her big smile. She was so excited to be there. She felt like she belonged, and she does belong there. And I truly believe that these two women knew each other's style when it came into the ring.
Oh, they definitely watched each other's tape. There's no way vets don't.
It was just
by that point
beautiful how they both knew each other's style. They communicated really well in the ring, both dominant. And you know what? I'm very sad that Princessa didn't go through, but I'm more excited that Mercedes did.
Yeah. And there can only be one winner out of all this. Well, one winner for this particular competition. Let's be honest. We know what's really going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, but for our last match of episode 5, so we have Bianca Belair versus Kairi Sane. Can you tell which one's my favorite? So to get to this point, Kairi Sane defeated Tessa Blanchard, a 3-generation wrestler. Kairi is a yacht person and a champion, and she's just all around amazing. I absolutely love it. Bianca Belair, I believe, TK, you know her in like...
Track, CrossFitter, but I think we all called this one.
Yeah, no, we definitely did. Something that did, to get to this point, Bianca defeated Sage Beckett. She was the energy challenger, channeler from our first round. And something that Lita remarked is that she's been 1 year in the business and is already in this ring with all of these other veterans. Mm-hmm. And it's like, great, fast track yourself. Fantastic. So, yeah, we did call this one. But despite the fact that we called this, can I just say how much of a pleasure it was actually seeing this match? I think it's because of Kairi Sane. I will be completely honest. I'm not saying anything against Bianca, but there's something that she brings to it that even though we were like, oh, squash match, it's like, no, it felt like a story. Right. It felt like there was something to tell. And I felt like Bianca was so beautifully showcased in this. I mean, from the very beginning where you have Bianca using her hair as a whip and Kairi being like, wait, what is this? It's like, is this fair? It's like, all right, fine, I'll roll with this. I'll make this happen.
Oh man.
And it's like Bianca got to show off her strength. I mean, we had so many near falls, it felt like, and Kairi will sell a near fall. At one point, when Bianca went to the top rope and she landed that beautiful 450, and then it was like Kairi kicked out at like 2 3/4. For a second,
yes.
I was like, this is exciting. This is women's wrestling. You know, and I love that they did that chant like later on in the episodes.
It definitely did. And I'm going to take that energy that you have right now because, for one, I'm not an emotional person, but when it comes to wrestling, I get emotional. And the fact that she used her hair on Kairi, I got a little emotional because I'm like, oh my God, she's in the corner and she's getting hit. And I'm like, I can't take this. But I saw the exclusive backstage video of Bianca getting emotional and Hunter is back there confronting her, telling her something that we did not know what she was he was saying to her. Mm-hmm. But I feel Bianca is already a winner.
Oh yeah.
Because... Yes. Yes, she didn't advance, but she's a complete winner. She was able to participate in the Mayan Classic. She's already dominating the NXT Women's Division. And in my opinion, I think one day she will be the NXT Women's Champion. Because just by being in the WWE ring for 1 year, and she's that damn good, and has a background of track and athletics.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, oh my gosh.
So when she was doing it and she was in the corner, I'm like, did she get? Because I know I got beat as a kid, so I don't know. If she was channeling her mom because she was just doing it so fluidly. But she's done it before. She did it in Riverside when she was here. NXT was here, so she's done it before. It was just it's something different. Yes. I don't know if she's going to continue with it because that means she has to continue with that hairstyle. And for y'all don't know who has never rocked that hairstyle, has a lot of maintenance. So I don't know if she's going to still do that, but definitely a great match. And it was believable. I think if we didn't know the background of each individual, you know, we might have kind of said, okay, well, there's a possibility. Like, you never know. But because we knew the background and how they played up the stories, it's like, okay, well, we know what's going to happen. But it wasn't one of those matches where it didn't feel like Bianca didn't deserve to be there.
Yeah, no, I definitely felt like she earned her spot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think the good thing that they did about this one is that, like, oh, yeah, everyone's like, okay, well, obviously they can't eliminate Kairi Sane just now. And so instead of making the match super predictable, they were like, okay, no, like, let's have Bianca show, like, one last hoorah, you know? So it was a really nice match.
Yeah, that one time when she picked up Kairi and then just did some squats.
One thing I want to add is Kairi, like, backhand her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a spinning back fist from way back in childhood.
Out of nowhere, she just did that. And I, like, screamed, and my mom's like, what's wrong? I'm like, women's wrestling is happening.
There we go.
And Bianca's definitely invested because her fiancé, too, is also signed to that NXT.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, they're
all power in. Couple.
Yeah, she's power in couple. It. You're going to be seeing more of her. Yeah, no worries.
The way they play her, they've been playing her up for the last year or so through social media, YouTube, Instagram, all this other stuff. The sky's the limit for her.
Yeah, so she is the IST.
One more thing. You know, the fact that this match wasn't even Kairi Sane's normal style and the fact that it was still good screams a lot about this woman, BTW.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you
go.
I just wanted to throw something in there for Kairi.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that part. It was the BTW. It was like, okay. All right, cool.
No, she went acronym AF.
I talk in texting. Okay.
So that brings us to episode 6, which is also round 2. So it's the ends of round two, basically. So we have Toni Storm, Australia, versus Lacey Evans. So Lacey Evans, the lady of NXT. She was the only female member of a SWAT team. She is United States Marines, retired. Mm-hmm. She was a drill sergeant, technical, athletic. Her finisher is a lady lace-up. And she defeated Conti to get entrance to this particular round. And so with Toni Storm, strong style, definitely. Her finisher move is Strong Zero, and she defeated Aisha Raymond, and you would know her as the Deadlift Diva. And she was at 435 pounds,
something ridiculous.
I believe it was something like that. And she has wrestled in 13 countries before the age of 20. So with this, the very presence that Lacey had when she came out, I was on board. She sold her entrance music and getting down the ramp and into the ring. I felt like this was a match that I wanted to see just when I saw that. So with it, with the match itself, I felt like it was great. I felt like there were, I don't want to overuse that word. Compared to other matches, I didn't enjoy it as much as I did others, but I felt like there were some innovative moves in it. I really loved in the corner when she did the leg sweep and then elbow right off the top rope, and that was Lacey Evans onto Toni Storm. Yeah, I thought Toni was a bit too showboaty for me for this particular. It seemed a bit too arrogant, a bit too confident, but I did like the modified Northern Lights that she did on Lacey's head from the corner. And Toni Storm did win with a well-placed Strong Zero. So, yep. Thoughts?
I think that, okay, I'm going to call this right now, guys, and take my word for it, because in, like, I don't know, however much time difference, Toni Storm is going to be a star, all right? She is going to be a star in the WWE. She's going to be, like, my new favorite women's wrestler, like, ever. This is the thing about Toni Storm, is that she's a good athlete, and later on in the tournament, we saw her do some incredible stuff with her match with Piper Niven. I'll get into that later. But we saw her do some awesome stuff. She has a great look. She's charismatic, and she has the Becky Lynch vibe, which is kind of like, you just like her. She has a great rocking personality. She has it. And I think that this match was good. It was, you know, it had its moments and stuff like that. Lacey Evans, with her character, I think it's a great character. Like, she's patriotic. She's just like that all-American woman. So I think that's very cool. She does have a little bit of a stiff style, Lacey Evans. But so I think maybe that's why maybe it was a little bit off. But either way, they still had some sort of good chemistry together. But guys, Toni Storm was my pick after this. But
you know what? Lacey Evans reminds me of remember the star girl from GLOW, how she was all American? That was her gimmick and character.
Yes.
That's totally what Lacey Evans is, but real life. And I love it. I love Toni Storm.
Liberty Bell.
Yes. I love Toni Storm. She reminds me of, I feel like she was supposed to be born in the 80s, like in her 20s. Not born, but she's supposed to be in her 20s and the 80s. That rock and roll style. I loved her. Pretty much her in-ring gear is very like Poison vibe, but
I
know they were rocking some great gear, it fit the personalities.
It really did, and I like the hip attacks too that she was doing. And Lacey Evans, just give her the roll up because she was taking that.
She was just taking a little bit too long.
My favorite part of this match was when Lacey Evans jumped over the rope and just splashed on her. That was really cool.
Toni Storm is like the package. Like, I feel like she can definitely handle the mic. She has like the presence, and of course, you know, it's a little bit different when you go to the main stage, but a lot of these girls, I mean, I think in the women's division, you know, we're kind of short, but it's kind of developing, and a lot of these girls from this classic can go on to the NXT, and we can definitely, we're almost like, I feel like we're starting to overpower the men anyway. And I feel like somebody like a Toni Storm, like, she has all the elements. Now it's just to fine tune, get those reps in. She's going to be absolutely amazing. Same thing with Lacey. Definitely good. Like, definitely a good vibe. The hip attacks is something that
the hip attacks are fun. You feel like that totally came out of just an organic invention that she did, and it fits what she's doing.
And it was different. It's different.
I feel like every time she does it, like every man that is watching is just like falling in love, BTW, because it's fun, it's cool, and guys like that, you know?
Isn't she with somebody? Isn't she with somebody in the WWE?
Well,
Tony Storm. Yeah. I'll do some recon while we were talking. Right.
So for our next match, we have Mia Yim representing South Korea versus Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
Woo, USA. Wow. Okay, so with this match, okay, so Mia is a second degree black belt. She also represents Put a Nail in It, which is about bringing awareness to domestic abuse survivors and the things that you can go through, and then also how you can help with prevention, and then how you can help with treatment after something like that happens to you. She defeated Sarah Logan, who was Kentucky Strong, in round one to get this place. And Shayna Baszler, who Jim Ross designated the Destroyer of Dreams.
Ooh, I like that.
I loved that. And I hope she keeps that, because that is fantastic for everything that she does. Coached by Josh Burnett, part of the four horsewomen of MMA who were in the audience. So she defeated Zeta, the Chinese martial artist, to get to this point. So with this match, wow. Okay, so Mia Yim, she's such a veteran, and you can see that in all of her moves that she does. It's very technical. And then both of them with the MMA background, when they were... Just with Mia Yim, when she landed that great suicide dive, it seemed like everything that she did was perfect. It was like textbook perfect. And I really enjoyed that. It was like everything from that perfectly placed German suplex that she got a two count off of. And she did a lot of great things, and it all came down to one thing that defeated her. And that was, I felt like, those ankle locks that Shayna Baszler kept on putting on her. This woman is like a Venus flytrap of wrestling. Yes. Because she will let you hit on her, and she will just wait for your opening. She's like Karnak from Inhumans, and she knows the flaw that is in your wrestling before you even know it. So, I mean, talking about beautiful, technical, just... gymnastics. Mia Yim goes to the top rope for 450. It is beautifully done, and it doesn't connect because it's a trap. And Shayna locks into a rear neck sleeper, and that is it. That's the second tap out for Shayna. That is it. And there was this great moment where the four horsewomen of the MMA were calling out the four horsewomen of wrestling right after it. And something to be said about this, damn. Thoughts?
What part are you damning at? That was a lot of...
There was a lot of... Yes.
One damn part. It's the overall arcing damn. Like, okay.
Holy crap.
The more you know.
Yes.
Oh, man. Honestly, I agree with you. Damn. Oh, wait, are we allowed to say that? I don't even know. Okay.
I think well,
you
okay.
can say it on national say? Television. Oh, okay. Network television, they allow it.
All right. Minor brain glitch there, guys. All right. Honestly, okay. So, aside from this... We're in the second show now. The one problem that I did see is that at this point of the show, we've already seen three cannonballs. There was one done in this match again, and two 450 splashes already in the short amount of time that we're seeing here in round two and stuff. So that was the one thing where I was kind of like, I already saw that. Like, why are we doing this again? So that was the one minor problem I had. But other than that, this was nice. I feel like this started to set up the story that they were going to soon play out that we saw with Shayna, that she's, like, you know, beating her opponents, like, very suddenly. Mm-hmm. I'm still not sold on Shayna Baszler. I'm not a fan of hers. And but I do see, obviously, why she is in the finals.
Right. The thing with Shayna is that... You know, this setup is fine because we don't get to see the whole package. Because I don't know, is she signed to NXT yet? Because she's training at the Performance Center.
I thought she was. Am I wrong?
There's like about 16 women that got signed. Because I won't be surprised if she's one of them.
Because she was at the Performance Center when she made that quick appearance on Total Divas. When she was with one of the Bellas. But my thing is, I don't know if she can handle the mic. And if she can't handle the mic, then that's going to be a real big issue as far as her becoming great.
Yeah, then she could sell a little better.
Right.
Or if she's not good on the mic, they're probably going to have her have a manager for her.
That would work.
Ooh, she could probably be the next Paul Heyman girl.
Should be a Paul Heyman girl next to her, or a Lana type
with
her. I
wouldn't be surprised.
Makes sense. Yeah. She has a tough vibe.
Yeah. So like, okay. And then UFC connects with Brock Lesnar. That would make total sense.
All right, planning it all out.
I know.
Day.
So for our next match, we have Rhea Ripley, Australia, versus Dakota Kai, New Zealand. Woo-hoo. So I like this match. This match was very fun for me. Rhea, her finisher is a full Nelson slam. She's, to me, and I think we said this last time, Charlotte Flair type. She mm-hmm. defeated Miranda Salinas to get to this point, who was trained by Booker T. And Dakota Kai, she does the double stomp. She's inspired by Finn Balor in that way. She's a striker type, and she defeated Kavita Devi, who was trained by the great Kali to get to this point. So, yeah, with there's kind of like fundamentals, started with wrist locks and counters and everything like that. I did like the great counter by Dakota Kai, and I know she's your favorite, yes. Nisa, where she did the victory roll with a bridge. Mm-hmm. And then Rhea responded by just lifting her straight in the air and just dropping her on the ground.
She made her look like a rag doll.
It was so unexpected, and I was just like, oh! I made a Pillsbury Doughboy sound when I saw that.
I do have one question. I don't want to, because I know this will probably be a question in the chat later on too. Back to Shayna. Somebody's wondering if is Ronda Rousey the reason Shayna's in the tournament?
Yes.
Are we
allowed to be honest?
No. Well,
I don't know. That would, I think, well, is Nicole Savoy there because of, you know, with everybody that she knows, or did she earn her actual spot there? I think Shayna Baszler, compared to the other people, like, earned her spot there.
I love her face. Yeah. I agree with you.
I do think that she might have been seen more because that she is part of the Four Horsewomen of MMA, and that is also Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. Rousey, thank mm-hmm. you. But I think that kind of undercuts what she's bringing into the ring to be like that. That's the reason why she's there.
Yeah, I think she put in the work to be there. It's not like she finished a match at UFC and it's like, I think I'm going to try this wrestling thing because it looks easy. Like, I think she's been putting the work in order to become a great wrestler. So I don't think it's because of Ronda, but of course, everything in this entertainment industry period is through networking.
Yeah.
So, you know, people might have had more eyes on her because Ronda did train her in, I forgot the reality show, but she's definitely because of her hard work. Like, she couldn't just be, a chick that just wanted to walk off the street and do it.
Yeah.
But anyways, I wanted to address that. Because there was a lot of questions too.
No worries.
But I'm about Dakota too.
There were a number of other things. I liked when Rhea got Dakota on the top ropes, and they had a lot of top rope strikes that were going on. Mm-hmm. And then Dakota just landed this well-placed forearm strike, and she got Rhea into the tree of woe, and then just that signature double foot stomp, and Dakota got the win.
Yeah. Rhea did this killer face plant on Dakota from outside the ring where I was like, oh, did her head come off? Because it was insane. Honestly, to tell you the truth, I really thought I thought Dakota was going to lose on this one, even though she was a personal favorite as mine too. Mm-hmm. I still thought they were going to go with Rhea because she just had, I don't know, there was something about her that I just thought they were going to go with her on this one. So I was a little surprised to see Dakota advance. But other than that, I thought that this was the best match so far from all of the stuff we've seen before.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the little girl has to win. Not has to, but it just, if you're looking at the overarching storyline for everything, I feel like that's a good way to play it.
Yeah, and Maserat Uraldin in the chat room, yes, Dakota's hairstyle does remind me of Sailor Moon. Also, yes. It's a gorgeous hairstyle.
Well, of course, I am a fan of Dakota Kai, as you can see.
Are you really?
Yes! No. Hey, she tweeted me, so I got excited. Yeah,
nice.
So you know,
plus, don't we need another Bailey type in NXT now?
I can't say Bailey. I wouldn't say Bailey. I wanted.
She.
You know,
I get Bailey vibes off of her.
Major Bailey vibes. Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
I like how like she's just her own person. Mm-hmm. That's you know, that's what she gives to me. And I like how this was a tall person against a small person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It shows how. It just shows how much it doesn't matter how little she is, she's a tough cookie, like she says. And it doesn't matter how tall Rhea is, she has those long legs. Mm-hmm. And the fact that these two had a good match, I enjoyed it. Kudos to both of them.
Yeah. Well said. So our next match and the last match of episode 6. So this is the end of round 2. Candice LeRae versus Nicole Savoy. So Candice, the self-professed high risk taker, as opposed to high flyer, she defeated, I believe it was Renee Michelle to get to this point. So this Anna Faris lookalike to me, her finisher is the Miss LeRae's Wild Ride. Mm-hmm. And her hubby, Johnny Gargano, is in the audience. Only female champion in the TWG in California. I did not know that fact.
Nice fact. And I'm excited. I love Candice. Tomorrow, if you guys are going to be going to bar wrestling, I'll be there. TK is going to be there. And Candice LeRae is going to be there. Nice. Xbox is going to be there. So it's going to be fun. I'm so excited.
Right. So she's going up against Nicole Savoy. She's excited. It's good to be excited. The Queen of Suplex. She defeated Reyna Gonzalez with a straight arm bar to get to this point. Mm-hmm. So with this one, I mean, Candice brought it. You can't sleep on Candice. No. That's absolutely it. Wow. It was just... With this, I guess this was one of the closer ones for me. I remember even last show, I was like, I don't know how to these two. It's probably going to be Candice, but it looks like it might be Nicole. Yeah, I would want Nicole. And it's just Nicole just got her core strength. I mean, it was just suplex after suplex. And then when she tried to get the cross arm breaker in, but Candice like got free because she was like, leg kicks to your head. So yeah, I mean, it all ended with Miss LeRae's Wild Ride in the corner off the top rope. And Candice immediately went to get her props from her hubby. So I did enjoy that. Thoughts?
It was cute seeing him in the, like, mm-hmm. on the side, like, cheering for his, like, two baby, or I don't know what he was saying. Anyways, both from California, which was pretty cool to see, you know, representing and stuff. But, guys, I feel for me this was all Candice. Like, she just shined so much brighter, definitely.
We've got some really good matches ahead, and we've got like 11 minutes left. So that brings us to the quarterfinals. So it's episode 7. So we've gone from 32 to 8 competitors. Four of these 8 will go home, from 13 countries to 5 countries, and now we have a 25 minute limit entering the quarterfinals. So we start with Abby Leith versus Mercedes Martinez. So Abby defeated Jazzy Gabert and Rachel Evers to get here. Mercedes Martinez defeated Princess Suhe and forget the first one. Oh, goodness.
I don't think it matters for you.
Yeah, well, chat room probably knows. And so with this, I always thought that Mercedes Martinez was going to win. I mean, same. Hungry for it, 16-year veteran. But I will say that Abby, she did bring it. She did with those spinning heel kicks, spinning edge chop. I mean, Mercedes almost got DQ'd at one point because she just would not let up and then ended, like, I think on 5, she had this, like, gorgeous chop in the corner mm-hmm. on Abby. It's just, at one point, she was just kept on ringing Abby's bell. I was just like, does Abby owe her money? Because there was just, like, a beatdown that was going on.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the best way that you have to do it and the best way to sell it. I kind of feel like if you're going to advance, like, you have to make it so believable that's like, look, yeah, you stole my lunch money and I'm going
this is personal.
Take you down for it. I definitely a great fight. Abby held her own, but it was Mercedes all the way.
Yeah. At one point, we even had a near double count out, you know, outside of the ring because of a great top rope crossbody. And that was, you know, well, in any case, after well-placed high kick to stun, Mercedes landed a solid fisherman buster and she got the win. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mercedes. So, and that takes us to Candice versus Shayna Baszler. Candice LeRae versus Shayna. Did any of us think that Candice would power out
no,
of this one?
No, but you have to give Candice a lot of damn credit for this match.
When she did that suicide dive through the ropes and then turned it into a DDT on the outside, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you're not going down without a fight. Yeah. Shayna's going to have to earn this.
Mm-hmm. Candice is a tough woman. She's beaten men up. So she ain't gonna, she's not gonna be afraid to beat up a former UFC fighter.
Yeah, and then, like, technically speaking, she did a lot of things right. I mean, right after that, she locked her into the octopus. I mean, she used her submissions. Hey, Shayna, it's a trap Baszler when she went for, you know, Miss LeRae's wild ride from the top rope, and Shayna turned that into the rear neck sleeper, mm-hmm. and that was all she wrote. And then she would not let up. She psychologically was psyching out Mercedes Martinez, or at least she was trying to, where she's like, no, there's no reason to let go.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, okay, I don't know if Candice LeRae is one of the 16 women who have been signed. If someone knows that, let me know. But if she's not, this to me is the match that screams, hey, WWE, I'm your girl to hire, because I just brought an exciting, exciting match out of Shayna Baszler, because Candice LeRae carried this entire thing.
Yeah.
She was the one doing all these killer stuff and making Shayna look better, I think, than she is in the ring. Not in a bad way, okay?
So that's some bias.
I'm not, like, anti-Shayna or anything.
I'm not.
I'm really not, okay? But honestly, for me, it was just Candice said, hey, look at me, I can do this, and I can do this for a lot more girls who might need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thanks to Joseph Boza, she defeated Xia Li and Princess Suhei to get there.
Yeah. And I feel like Shayna was just being a bully after she wouldn't let go of the chokehold. And
hey, she was being a heel.
Yeah.
But she was being all the heel.
I think it's almost a setup, too, if she is, and I'm trying to look up everybody that got signed, if she is signed to NXT, and when she finally kind of makes that, those starting to make the rounds, she's already coming into it with people not liking her.
Yeah.
So she already has that built-in crowd.
Feeding off of it.
So I don't know if somebody told her to kind of up the ante, because she was like that even in the UFC when she did that reality show, Ultimate Fighter. So I don't know if somebody told her to up the ante and just say, hey, this is your role.
Hey, this
role.
Is you.
Just wear
this coat and strut around in it because this is you. So that takes us to our third fight of this episode 7, and it's Piper Nevin versus Toni Storm. So we have Scotland versus Australia. Piper defeated Santana Garrett, Serena Deeb. She's a quick powerhouse. Piper by this point. Oh, wow. I wanted Piper to win. I wanted Piper to win so bad. I enjoy what Toni Storm brings to it, but I wanted to see a Kairi Sane versus a Piper. So with this, I liked at the very top, Toni showed that she had watched the tape on Piper's match after they, you know, did their getting to know you, grappling wrists and headlocks, that she shoved her into the corner and then just gave her a little frenemy pop on the chin. It's like, that's exactly what Piper did in her last match. So I like that. It's like, hey, I see you. And I very much enjoyed that. And then the double bridge that they had in the middle of the ring with upside down handshake. And it was for the crowd's pleasure. We heard women's wrestling chant and moving on with the actual fight. Total respect. Had one of those headbutts that, you very much enjoy in this. Yeah, and Piper did a headbutt, crossbody, and then a senton to a near fall. Piper was working it. She really was. She even busted out the Minoku driver, but there was a kick out. She went for a cannonball, but then she climbed up to those ropes after it didn't work, and Toni Storm, all you need is one mistake. All you need is one. Mm-hmm. And then she did a belly-to-back suplex from the second rope, and then a top rope leg drop, and Toni gets the win.
I think, honestly, for this one, you know, in the start of this tournament, I wasn't too crazy about Piper, but seeing her in this match with Toni Storm, it was like day and night for me. I thought that she really brought it. These two women had such great chemistry in the ring.
Yes.
We saw a lot of unique stuff from Toni Storm, and I really, really, really loved that double bridge into a handshake. That was so cool, so cute. It was everything that I wanted to see. And, I mean, I'm happy that they moved on with Toni Storm here, because I do think that they can do a lot with her.
Yeah. Totally agree. I like the handshake. I liked how they both pretty much knew what each other was doing with both hands going over. It was great. I enjoyed the match, but you guys said it all.
Touche.
So this leads us to...
I retweet that.
Touche. I like this. That brings us to our final match in the quarterfinals, and that is Kairi Sane versus Dakota Kai. So we have Japan versus New Zealand.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, How can Kairi Sane get any better? I think this before I see the match, and then I see the match, and I'm like, oh, she got even better. It's like she's like this chameleon that, you know, molds herself around the other person's fighting style and then surprises them with elements to it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Dakota, super strong. Yeah. You know, super strong. She's a strong striker, and she showed it here. It's just that Kairi kept on getting her with surprises, like a surprise spear and a running drop kick to Dakota's back. Mm-hmm. I mean, when, you know, there was this one part where Dakota was running a high kick to Kairi in the corner, and then that was the closest near fall that I felt like Kairi had at this point. But then right after that, you know, Kairi avoids a double stomp when she's in the Tree of Woe. So, I mean, how down could she be? And then, you know, when it really comes down to it, I mean, Kairi got a huge slam and she got in that diving elbow. Mm-hmm. So
go back a little bit on one of the matches with Bianca Belair and Kairi real quick. Mm-hmm. I liked how Bianca gave her the kiss and Kairi saw it and just stomped on it. Yeah. That was fun. But back to this match.
It's a big Kairi moment.
Yes. Back to this match. I liked the beginning of it. They both over-countered each other's kicks, and I liked how Kairi kind of gave me the... Yeah, I was like, yeah, ninja style. But overall, these two are my favorite out of the bunch. I really wish it was Dakota Kai, but I'm very glad that it was Kairi Sane, because without a doubt, Kairi Sane is the winner and is going to win this.
So I have the nine people who signed to WWE. So you have Jazzy.
Yes!
Jazzy Mia Yim.
Ooh.
I agree with that one.
Piper.
Definitely. Yes, Piper. Piper the Viper.
Come on, computer. There we go. Candice.
Of course.
Yes.
I know Tony's in there. Shayna, of course. Mm-hmm. Mercedes.
Yes.
And Kaylee Ray.
Oh, Kaylee Ray.
And Santana Garrett.
Nice. Right. Nice variety of women. Good for them.
Yeah.
Yes, most definitely. So, okay. So that brings us to our semifinals, episode 8. Mm-hmm. Okay, so with the semifinals, because it's the live event that's going to happen next week, September 12th, and that's going to be in Las Vegas at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard, I believe. Mm-hmm. So with this, the semifinals, so we have Mercedes Martinez versus Shayna Baszler.
What a good one.
Oh, my God. Okay, because this is mentor versus protege, and they rocked this.
They killed it. And I liked that Mercedes said, it's teacher versus student. And they knew each other. Mercedes knew her style. Mm-hmm. She wasn't going to give up. And this is by far my favorite match that Shayna did this far.
Yeah. No, you felt different dimensions. Yes. You felt different levels. Yes. You got the frustration. You got that it felt like she was intimidated.
And that's what I like about beginning. That's what I like about when it comes to wrestling is when you guys are friends for a while. You guys, it's like a Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. They have been friends for a long time. They know each other's style, and they're great in the ring.
Yeah, and it kind of seemed like Mercedes Martinez had to kind of wake her up with a lot of open hand palm strikes. And so, yeah, there was Mercedes did a back suplex, driving suplex. It was a belly to back suplex. And it all would have worked, too, if it wasn't for that darn Shayna Baszler, where she got a power slam and then tricked it into a rear neck sleeper and locked it in. It was like this submission out of nowhere, and Baszler goes on to our finals.
Mm-hmm. Which I predicted.
Yes. And then, of course, the other match in in the finals is Kairi Sane versus Toni Storm. I will have to be honest, I wish it was versus Piper, because I really would have wanted to know how Kairi would have, you know, made that happen. But with this, wow. Okay, so with Kairi Sane, I mean, just thoughts in particular, because this is our last one.
Kairi hit her face on the ramp really hard, by the way. That was pretty crazy, actually. She was bleeding on that one. Honestly, this was a good match. Both of these women had such great psychology. I really enjoyed seeing them together. One of the things that that Toni Storm did was the bridge armbar, which was very, very unique that she did. It was kind of like, oh, I loved it. And I think that was one of the cool things we saw. I mean, obviously, we knew that Kairi was going to win, you know, regardless of my fan fandom for Tony. I think we still knew that Kairi was going to win this one, and I think that this match was probably one of the best in the entire tournament.
I like how Toni Storm was going straight for her arm and just bending it backwards, focusing on that arm, because that arm is a dominant force. And that's where it got Kairi where she is. And I like the Boston Crab, the beautiful spear that Kairi did. Just amazing, amazing match. And you know what? Toni Storm got signed, and...
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of beautiful things that happened in this match. Like you were saying, where there that was that top rope crossbody onto the outside where she did slam her face. We had that that cross arm breaker on Kairi. Toni kept on working that elbow. I mean, it was good strategy. I mean, she even got her signature hip attack in. Too bad that the second one she went through, she got a surprise spear for her efforts. So, I mean, there's that. Yeah.
For her efforts. Good job.
You
steal that one.
I love the fact, like how we were saying last week, it was, you know, certain matches didn't line up to us. But it was a nice slow build to the point that we are right now. Like, if they had all 32 women of equal caliber come out and pretty much slaughter the crap out of each other, by the time we got to this point, we'd be exhausted. So whoever, I know Triple H had a huge part to play, but I don't know if they had a hard part to play as far as positioning or everything, but whoever did that, kudos to them, because they definitely had the foresight to kind of see how everything went. So definitely go with that.
Absolutely. It took us on a journey, and it ended with a diving elbow finish. And Kairi just... Something else that I love about her is that everybody has been like, hug. You are an awesome person. We're an awesome person. Women's wrestling is a very cool thing. And so, yeah, this has been part two of three of, you know, this adventure that we're going on, the Mae Young Classic. So part three will be next week, Wednesday, 7 p.m., and we will be covering... we'll be recapping the live event that will be happening Saturday, I'm sorry, September 12th at 10 p.m. Eastern. It will be live from Las Vegas. So, yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Anissa, put yourself over.
My name is Anissa Barr. You can find me at Anissa Barr on social media. I am the social media for X-Pac 12360. Also, I am representing Ireland, but I also host at other events here at AfterBuzz. I host for America's Got Talent, so I'll be doing that next if you want to join.
All right, guys, you can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. I'm also on X-Pac 12360, and you can find me on TMZ. Just talking some ish almost every day. And I do have a new show coming out called Workout with Friends, so be on the lookout for that.
All right, guys. I'm Denise Salcedo. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at underscore Denise Salcedo. You guys can also watch me on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. We're doing a taping September 10th. Be there. Alberto El Patron is going to be there. It's going to be awesome. And then check out X-Pac 12360. We had Marty Scurll today, so check it out.
And I'm Markia McCarty. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMccarty. Mondays, I'm here at AfterBuzz TV, WWE Raw After Show with Johnny LaQuasto and a bunch of other funny guys.
Fun day.
And then on Tuesdays, you can catch me on Popcorn Talk at 2 p.m. And that is Marvel Movie News, where we talk everything Marvel and nerds. But what I really want to do is see you here next Wednesday at 7 p.m. because we will have Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler, and all of us will be here. We want you to be here. Join us in the live chat, and we will see you then at 7 p.m.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. It's important to listen to AfterBuzz
Buzz you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.